It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us once again today, and we're in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 14. We're going to see a sad time in the nation of Israel, and each time that is a result of their unbelief, and we'll see that today. And so please that you're hopefully able to stay through the whole study today. And again, Numbers chapter 14, if you want to turn to that book and chapter. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Numbers chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? For our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be, and ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence, and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation, and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, and the Lord says, I have pardoned according to thy word. And we're going to stop there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your study today that we will have. We just praise you for it. We ask for your power and for your strength today. It's just such a joy to open your word and just fellowship over it, and just show us your way, and will strengthen us with it, dear Lord, please. Please that you strengthen us today. Now, guide and lead us as we study your precious word. Those that are lost do not know you as their Savior. Please that they come today and call up on your Son, the Lord Jesus. He has died on the cross to save them. He has risen from the grave. He is at your right hand right now. And thank you, Father, for your Son and for the great gift of salvation that he gives to all that will believe in the heart. And then, Father, please, as we look at these scripture verses, we see that unbelief is such an active part of our lives. So please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us today and just give us your direction and your strength and help us to have belief. Believe in all that you say and stand upon it. Now, please, guide and lead us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we come together and enjoy this study, and we went through Leviticus very quickly. We spent much time in Genesis and Exodus, and then we went through Leviticus very quickly and just looked at that 16th chapter. And now we are on the move from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, and then on in to see the land. And that's where we were at last time we were together. We had just sent the spies in to see. Now, we had looked up a verse of Scripture that tells us that it is not was not God's will that they send the spies. They were just to go take it. And we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. And if you'd like to look that up, you'll see what I'm talking about there. We did that last time we were together. And so you will see that even though in the 13th chapter the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, the reason that he said that is because he was tired of their belly aching. He was tired of their murmuring. And so he said, all right, just send spies in and see how great this land is. Well, once again, this was a wonderful opportunity for them to go in and see. They could have come back and says, oh, the cities are walled and the men are giants, but it doesn't matter because our God is going to give us this land. Let's go and take it. They could have done that, you know, and God would have overlooked this mistake of sending in the spies. But instead of that, they came back out of there, which the same old way they went in. They didn't believe God was going to deliver them into that land. And so they came back and they said, oh, there are giants and the cities are walled. And we're as grasshoppers to these people. That's the size difference. There's no way that we can take it. Well, what they have accomplished here, what they have decided, and that is that they have left God out of the equation. You know, any time that you put in, you know, a certain amount of men or women or children, plus God, when God is there, you know, we have, as we hear, that we need to know that we are on God's side. You know, it's one thing to say that I am on God's side. I am always doing what he wants me to do. Well, me being fleshly and human, that just is impossible. But I desire that be the case, that God will be on my that I am on the side God is on. It's not that God needs to be on my side, it's that I have to be on God's side. I have to desire that. And so that's just a little bit different. We need to do that. Well, here, that's all these spies needed to do. It says, you know, I want to be on God's side. And God says, take it, we're going to take it. It doesn't matter. But they had left him out. And so it was man to man. And in their eyes, they looked at this land, and it was well armed, well guarded, and the men were giants. And so there's no way that I can come and destroy this enemy that possesses the land that God, and in their mind, supposedly says, going to give to us. Well, God says, I'm going to give you this land. Well, the report was good. The report came back, says, yes, everything that was said to us is true. We've never been in this land before, but the report that God had given to us through you, Moses, is exactly right. It's flowing with milk and honey. The fruit is monstrous. It is just so wonderful beyond our imagination. However, So you see, that's what we do. We kind of decide, and we do the same thing. We decide to change and go into our own way and our own opinion and look at that. And we need to see that as we do those things, that our heart, you know, be right. And so please, that we just take time and we look unto the Lord and we trust Him in everything that we do. And so please that we do that. Now, we're going to see now that after they came back with the report, and the report was not as would expected it, as they would like to have had. And so now we have in Numbers chapter 14, this, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Boy, they are a murmuring people, aren't they? Well, so are we. You know, we're the same way. We always look for another way instead of just looking to God and says, God, here, and you care for me, you protect me, you strengthen me, and I just thank you for your strength and your power. And but they always go with the opinion of man more so than the opinion of God. God said, take it. They says, no, we can't. So, we have here now a situation just like many of us find ourselves in today, denying the Lord, not trusting in Him, not believing that He can take care of us and take care of our needs and take care of our problems and things like that. We turn to the world to do it. So, we have that this people is murmuring against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? Now, as we look at this, and then the third verse just kind of confirms and brings that in. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And then the saddest thing, and we're going to back up and talk about these verses a little bit, but the saddest thing, the saddest report to come, was this verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Now, do you see what's happening here? And again, we do the same thing. Instead of us trusting in the Lord and believing what He has to say and follow Him, we want to go right back into the world. And we want the world's opinion that, you know, the Egypt wasn't so bad. Oh, my friend, they weren't just servants. They were slaves. They were slaves that were brutally abused, not fed, not cared for in any way. And yet, isn't it so sad, my friend, that they would rather return to that than to trust God? And this deal with this verse 3, that our wives and our children should be a prey, that's a poorest excuse for a man that I have seen. It's for my own it's for my wife and my family's protection that I am making this decision. No, you weak-kneed, lazy individual. Trust in God. God's going to deliver you into this land. He said He would. Now, don't use your children and your wife as an excuse because you're not going to risk it because it's their safety. No, it's your neck that you're worried about, not your children and not your wife's. It is your neck, and you don't believe God's going to deliver you, and so you're not going to do it. But don't give me this nonsense about that, oh, I'm safety and protecting my children. Many a person will not trust God because they don't believe it. They don't believe He will care for them. He does not. They don't believe that they'll give them wisdom and understanding of what they need. They want the world and what they have to say. Now, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that they would rather have what the world has to say? They want to go back into the world. They would rather live and die. They said, why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? Well, they want to go back there. I guess that's where they want to die. Why don't you just let us die in the wilderness? You know, well, they haven't seen nothing yet, because that's exactly what's going to happen to them. But because of their unbelief, they could take this land. And so we see here that they are going to look for an individual that can lead us back home. Let's get back to Egypt. Oh, that was such a great place. Oh, our memories are short, and we need to trust in God and know that He's going to take care of things. And so, once again, we have the murmuring in the second verse. We have the congregation, the first verse, lifting up their voices and crying and weeping. Oh, what are we going to do? These people are whiners. That's what they are. And instead of saying, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. I don't know how you're going to do it, because these people sure are big. But I don't care, because I'm going to trust you, and we're going to take it. We're going to do it. So what a wonderful message for us, that, you know, God, I'm going to depend upon you. I just am, and so please that you would, you know, I'm going to trust you. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces here after they decide they're going to choose a captain to go back. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. So we've added two more now. We don't hear nothing out of Miriam, do we? I don't know whether she remembers. She kind of went up, her and Aaron went up against Moses and against the Lord here a while back. And we find that she ended up with leprosy, and God miraculously healed her. But here we have Aaron, Moses and Aaron, and Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies that went in. They saw exactly the same thing that the other 10 did. They saw the same thing. What's the difference here? What is the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10? They saw the same fruit. They saw the same land that was flowing with milk and honey. And they saw the same walled cities. And they saw the same giants. What's the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the others? We know that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we will be able to overcome it." But the men stood up against. The vote went down, and they says, "No, we're not going to. We're going to pack up. We're going back to Egypt." Well, let's see here, because Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb humbled themselves before the Lord. And they spake, verse 7, they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through," again, Joshua and Caleb were there, "and passed through to search it, is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it to us, the land which floweth with milk and honey." Oh, what a wonderful, let's go. He will give it to us. He said he would, and he will. Now again, what's the difference between these two? Belief and unbelief. That's the only difference. One believes God can do it. The other believes God can't do it. Joshua and Caleb, without question, God will deliver it. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. He's going to give this to us. So please, we must. We have to. Let's take it. Oh, what a beautiful story we have here. And these men, they knew that God was going to deliver them into this, because God said he would. Again, the equation. The 10 left God out of that. They were looking at their own abilities and their own strengths. And that's the only thing that this world can offer, is if you depend upon this world and the people of this world, they're going to let you down. And you're going to fail. But if you depend upon the Lord, he will put you where you need to be, and he'll give you the strength to deliver and do whatever you need to do for him. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have. All right, we have the Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron. rending their clothes and standing before the people, humbling themselves before their God and then standing before the people and making this statement. In verse 9, "Only rebel not, ye, against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." In other words, they're nothing. We're going to go in there and God will go before us. And don't give a thought to these people because they're nothing, not a problem. Their defense is departed from them. Oh, look at Joshua and Caleb and the report that Moses and Aaron received from them and accepted. "The Lord is with us. Fear them not." Oh, what a speech. What a wonderful speech. And it was a speech that was God-given, God-driven. And so they were just to listen and to know. Let's see how the rest responds. "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me?" How long will it be that they believe, ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed among them? I have given them sign. I have shown them my power. I have delivered them from Egypt through the Red Sea to Sinai. They have heard my voice. They have seen my power. I have brought them right to the door of the land that I have promised them. And here they go again. How long will this people provoke me? Now, this isn't some man. This isn't some politician or somebody that's speaking here that doesn't know necessarily what he is or isn't talking about. This is God. And God asks a question of these people, how long? He's talking to Moses. God's had it with these people. Why? It's because of their unbelief. It's because their unbelief. And you see, it's the same thing with us. It's God, you know, from time to time, and probably more times than not, God's put out with us because we won't trust him and we won't believe him. And we immediately want to move into the world, and we want this wisdom from the world. We take the world's advice, and we listen to them. And the world cannot add properly because, you see, they go man to man to man, and that's all they have. But we go man to God. And when you've got God on our side, there's no comparison. There's no victory that cannot be won. There's no amount of wisdom that we can't gain. There's no situation that we can't take care of. But we would rather take the wisdom of the world. These people love the world. We're going to get a guide, and we're going back to Egypt. We're going to get somebody to lead us back to Egypt because Moses and Aaron, you've deceived us, you've lied to us, and here we stand now. Couldn't we have died in Egypt? Why didn't we just die in the wilderness? Now we're going to bring it up here, and you're going to take these mighty giants, and they're just going to slay our children and all our wives. No, they're chicken. They're not believing and trusting the Lord. These men are not the leaders that they should be of their families. They should show their wives and their children, my God will take us into this land. Oh, and go home and tell the children. You ought to see how big these people are. You ought to see these cities and how they're walled. Oh, isn't it exciting that we're going to watch our God bring us in and defeat these enemies and give us this land that I have never seen such fruit. I've never seen such a land as this. Never. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be just wonderful? If the people would have said those things to their families, instead of going home with their head down and shaking their head and, oh, I don't know what this Moses did for us. He's brought us out here, and I fear for your life. I can't protect you. I don't think we can't do this. That's a report that they gave to their children and to their wives. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. When Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb spoke to these people, gave the report of the land. Same report, they saw the same things, and yet they stood and wanted to take it. And they said, they are bread for us, they're nothing. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Let's go. And the congregation lifted up the stones, and that at that time then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And he said, Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence. I will disinherit them, and I will make of thee a great nation and mightier than they. You see what was about to happen? The Lord was so angered with these people that he was going to destroy them. And this isn't the first time that this has happened. Going to destroy them and say, I will use you, Moses. And see, nothing is too hard for the Lord. The Lord took Abraham and Sarah, 190 years old, and started this family. And this family now has been lifted up to 1.5 million, 2 million or more people. It's been lifted that size. It's been made that size. God can take Moses, and he can do the same thing. Moses this time is only in his 80s. It's going to be nothing for him if Abraham can do it when he's 100. God can do it through Moses. Well, Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. Lord, you have delivered them out of Egypt. Egypt has seen that. Pharaoh, the Egyptians have witnessed your power. They will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime as a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Moses is reminding the Lord, and of course the Lord never forgets, but this is Moses is the intercessor. He comes between God and the people, just like our Lord does to us right now. He comes between us, and he gives us this wisdom and gives us this direction, and he says, Egypt has witnessed your power and your strength. That word of your power has went forth, and it has found its way all the way to this land. All the way to every enemy that stands before us, they know, because of the testimony of this Shekinah glory cloud by day and fire by night. And that brings fear right into these people, because they know what you did in Egypt. Do you remember, God, what you did in Egypt? And certainly he does, and we're going to do it again. These people then, now, verse 15, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, and now because the Lord hath not, in this verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slayed them in the wilderness. What they're going to say, God, is you're not strong enough to deliver these people. And these people are whiners and murmurers and don't listen and don't pay any attention. Oh, my friend, please, please, that you look at what you have done to this point. Now, don't turn away now. And the Moses, and we're going to continue this next time we're together. But what you're going to see is Moses now comes before these the Lord for these people, even though they're a murmuring people, and Aaron and Moses are just as disgusted with them as what the Lord is. Please see that you don't be disgusting to the Lord. believe him, walk with him, trust in him. Now, please, you know, we love studying the Scripture. We love studying the Word of God. We come together to look to his, for his way and will. You need to come by faith to Jesus today. Trust his word. Believe him today that he is your Savior and he died for you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?